and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And I somehow had thought this had already happened, but I guess there was one last holdout with the whole Alex Jones InfoWars not being allowed on social media anymore thing. Because I thought it was like, everyone already did it together and we're good. And somehow I missed that Twitter hadn't.
Okay, so I saw that he'd been banned. He'd been banned, but I don't know the story at all.
So, you don't know who Alex Jones is?
No.
So, Alex Jones and his company, InfoWars, is a very brash personality who does news stories, but certainly with a political slant. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things he's said have not necessarily been backed up by fact. And I know he's currently in a lawsuit. I think he might be in a number of lawsuits. He's currently in a lawsuit with parents of Sandy Hook victims.
Okay, because he has come out
and said that Sandy Hook didn't happen. And the parents are obviously like, the heck are you talking about?
Right.
But so he has done a lot of not nice things and has a very brash personality. And as part of, depending on which social media it was, them battling against fake news or battling against, you know, abusive internet usage, numerous social medias at least banned or suspended his accounts, both like his name accounts, but also InfoWars, for violating their various policies regarding those things.
Okay.
But somehow Twitter had been sort of the last holdout that had not yet suspended him for it, which is amazing to me because I'm like, but you're Twitter.
Right.
And if you're trying to make a stand against, you know, let's not be the absolute worst versions of ourselves on the internet, shouldn't you have been like, I'm going to do it first just to be careful or something?
Apparently not.
But so evidently it's now coming out that Twitter might have eventually, you know, decided on, okay, we'll finally go ahead and suspend him, because there was a video of Alex Jones confronting a CNN reporter in which I think he possibly threatened him. And this is just one of the many things where people are like, see, he is abusive and this violates their abusive behavior policy. And he's, you know, abusive over the radio, abusive over Twitter.
It sounds like a peach. I'm so happy that I missed all of this, actually.
Well, and of course, so like all the clips I've ever seen are him just, you know, being really agitated about enter thing here. But he's somewhat of a heavier set man. And so, irregardless of what he's saying, if I watch it without sound, I'm just like, I feel you're like going to bust a blood vessel. You got really agitated and red in the face over everything here. And then you turn on the sound and I'm like, I don't know that facts back that up. Where are you getting that from? And why are you so agitated about it?
Geez.
So it's just like, oh, okay. I thought when I saw this, I was like, did I like click like several weeks ago somehow? Did I click a really old article? But no, Twitter was just somehow the last holdout. And so now he is obviously not completely banned from social media. I'm sure he can find a way. But from all the major ones, banned and or suspended for violating their various policies that they're all currently, you know, putting in because of all the controversy that's happened over social media about fake news and about cyberbullying and all that. They're now like, oh, we actually have to do something about that. We as a company are in a position that we have to actually make steps for this and not just be like, well, we don't like that, shake our fingers.
Right. Huh.
And so actually, Twitter and Facebook have been before the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee about this. And I feel very bad for Facebook because I was like, so 2018 is just going to be like the whole year.
You're going to be in front of some member of your staff.
In it.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, this is still going on. But Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg and Twitter's Jack Dorsey both testified. And there was actually supposed to be someone from Google. I think the Congress wanted Larry Page, but Google was like, eh, and we'll send someone else. And Congress was like, no. So there was just, there were three seats at the table and they each had a name tag. And so it was like, Sheryl Sandberg, Jack Dorsey, Google. Like, it didn't even have a name on the name tag. It was just Google.
Well, yeah, it's just Google. You go to Google, you ask the question.
I mean, right? We're probably getting to the point where you could have just brought in a computer and hooked it up to the speaker system and asked it through Google.
Right?
It's like, okay, Google, so explain your, like, privacy policy to us. And Google possibly could have answered, because I'm sure if we're not there already, we're very quickly getting there.
I feel like there's a satire sketch out there somewhere that's they did just that.
I would not at all be surprised if that was the case. But both Facebook and Twitter, through this hearing, I'm not sure it was very interesting. Twitter, and I don't know why I'm surprised by this, because it's, you know, the CEO of Twitter, but the Jack Dorsey for Twitter, I don't know how concurrent this was. The speech he gave to Congress was also tweeted out. And it actually says in the thing, I'm going to say this and also tweet it out. And I'm like, did you have that already set up to go at a certain time? And you just hit go and they come in like 30-second intervals? Did you have like an intern in the courtroom who was sending these out as you're speaking? How did your tweets happen as you were giving the speech?
Because I hope he wasn't speaking and tweeting at the same time. That A seems complicated and B seems rude.
Right. I'm sure Congress people would not be impressed if you were like, hold on, I'm gonna live tweet my speech right now.
Right.
They'd be like, excuse you. But yeah, Facebook presented their whole new policy, and especially as we're coming up to the, you know, midterm elections in November, there's a lot of worry about what we're going to see on social media regarding politics. So Facebook at the hearing presented their whole new policy of how they're going to, you know, and of course this can't be 100% foolproof, but how they're going to try and make sure the ads that people see are real ads and not by, you know, fake things with hidden agendas, and their way to verify that you are who you say you are if you want to post an ad. And it was a long thing that they posted. I was like, I'm trying to read this and you have multiple things you're covering here. And all I got was, the way you verify is that you're going to send something through the mail.
Oh.
Which is a thing.
What?
In order, if you want to post an ad, you have to have a U.S. address, and they're going to send something to that U.S. address to prove you're you. And I'm like, I never got that, even when that was like the verification for me to get a library card. I was like, not that, you know, I think someone will fake getting a library card, but isn't it pretty easy to just steal other people's mail? I mean, it depends if you're in one of those like housing neighborhoods where you have the, you know, locked boxes in the center of the neighborhood. Probably less easy than if you just have a mailbox on your house.
Right.
But if you want to fake like you're, you know, not who you say you are, couldn't you just easily pick a house with a mailbox on the house and then just take the mail when you know you're expecting a verification letter? Like, isn't that...
It seems like way too much work just for faking stuff on the internet, but I guess if that's your thing.
I mean, just to fake things on the internet, period. I'm like, really, is this... You don't have anything better to do with your time than me, like, let me put up this fake ad to throw people... I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, I'm just like, that does not... that, and they have a number of other different things, and it depends on, you know, what type of ad it is, and I think, like, how broad of a... I'm not sure if it's, like, how much money you want to spend or how many ads you want or how broad of an audience you want to reach or something, but it sounded like there were sort of different levels of safety checks that they were going to implement based off of what the ad was, but I'm just like, I don't know that mailing the verification letter is proof.
Yeah.
Because it's been like, oh, you have to get, you know, give us the code that we put on the slide. I'm like... I don't think that's proof. I mean, you hear all the time about people stealing mail,
yeah,
and they don't even know what it is. And now I know what it is and I know where it's going. Really? I mean, it's not like you have like, I guess you could go to an office. It's not like Facebook has their own DMV offices where you could go and provide your ID or whatever. But is there not a better way to do that?
I don't know. Probably. But this is why I'm not in charge. Thank goodness.
Yeah, this is why I don't make policies, because I'd be much better at thinking of like all the problems with the policies than right.
You'd be
the
person that they the consultant that they'd call in to right. be like, here, pick this apart.
Exactly. Be like, but A, B, C, and F here are not right. But yeah, like it was very, I think, especially because we're coming up to elections, very much about, you know, this is a potential threat to our democracy. But it's nice to see that at least the different social medias are companies are now like, oh, yes, we should actually do something, because there aren't really like government laws in place for this. Because how would you like?
Right. Because we're in a whole new world.
And it would have to be federal, because it's like, if the law in Kentucky is different than the law in Tennessee.
Right.
Not- Facebook's going to what? I have to set up a different like programming thing for every state, and then possibly every, just make a federal law. But then clearly, as has been the case with a number of these hearings, we're not quite sure how much the Senate committee understands.
Yeah.
Like, which has been made for some fun memes, like when Mark Zuckerberg was on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was fantastic. Explain Facebook. How do I get my grandson to accept my friend request? Right. I was like, I get it. I totally get it. But that also is then terrifying that these are the people, you know, questioning the people who are in charge of making sure this doesn't happen.
Right. Oh, man. It's so complicated and weird and strange, and I don't know what other words to throw in there, but it's all of those things.
And worrying, yes. And almost apocalyptic, but not quite yet there. But I'm sure we're getting there.
Yeah,
if we
probably.
Get to an apocalypse, these will be the days we look back on and go,
oh, it's a Facebook hearing. I knew it.
If only we had enter thing I probably don't understand here. We could have saved us or something. Something like that.
And then we'll do a podcast on that. Post-apocalyptic podcast with Sarah and Stacey.
Will there still be podcasts in the post-apocalyptic world?
Of course there will.
I just have a hard time imagining.
Made up in my brain, and that's.
I just have a hard time imagining, like, you know, easily accessible data and Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
It's like, isn't all the technology stuff off or something? What? I can still just totally get on the internet and put, why is this post-apocalyptic then? I don't get it.
I know.
My brain is weird.
It's okay. It's all good.
Yes. But anyways, we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I'm always really nervous when I see a specific name trending, and it's not like because something's happening.
Because you're afraid they died?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's dying lately.
It definitely
not everyone, that's
not.
Hyperbole clearly,
yes.
But...
It just feels like, oh, the people, lots of people keep dying.
Yeah.
So when I see a name trending and I have no knowledge that anything's supposed to... Like, if the name's trending and there's like, you know, a sports event on and it's that sport, I'm okay, fine.
Right.
I get it. People are live tweeting because for some reason they do that. But if it's like, I didn't know you were doing anything right now when your name's trending, I'm like, but why? But what happened there? So
Stop it.
I saw Janet was trending, I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that you're doing anything specific right now. I know you had an album a little while ago, but that's when you should have been trending. Why are you trending right now? What happened? And so I'm looking it up. It turns out that she was trending on Twitter because an article came out about, I'm going to go with Les Moonves.
Yeah, that's how it looks.
Unless it's Moons.
Moons, I know. I was just trying to remember if I'd ever heard it said or if I've only seen it spelled.
Right, I think I've only seen it in print and never actually watched an, you know, a newscast about it. But Les Moonves, the CEO and chairman of CBS, an article came out saying that he essentially intentionally tried to ruin her career after the Super Bowl incident. Which people have been saying for years, but, you know, without necessarily being able to prove it. But Les Moonves is currently already facing a lot of issues with the Me Too movement and sexual assault allegations against him.
So, wait, so just backing up for a second. Mm. The conspiracy theorists were right?
That actually does happen sometimes.
I know, but we shouldn't encourage them.
Well, it's not so much much even that. I mean, I don't know that you could ever not encourage him.
I know.
Because people will go on and do weird and or terrible things because people. And so the person who was like, see, I told you that was happening is always, there's always going to be one of those who was actually right.
Yes, yes.
People. But I just, I didn't even think this was a conspiracy theory so much as a, well, this is one possible explanation. I kind of do imagine, you know, after the event that people, certainly she got a lot of backlash for that.
Yes.
And I remember I was not super old enough to follow, I definitely was not following the news at that time. So I didn't really know what was going on. But I was like, why do we only keep hearing about her and not Justin Timberlake,
who then got to go back to the Super Bowl and actually used the song, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah. In this recent one, he used that song?
Yeah. He performed that song that had the quote-unquote wardrobe malfunction involved.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Won't go there. But so anyways, I just remember, you know, hearing a lot about it and how much trouble she was in. And then it did seem, you know, that her career had a bit of a decline. But I wasn't sure how much of that was from people not buying it. Because I was like, the people who would buy Janet Jackson's albums and have you heard some of the songs she sings on those albums? Are you really upset about the nipple slip at the Super Bowl? Which did... I was like, it didn't quite seem an accident, but I didn't quite understand what it was. Evidently, he was supposed to rip off one part of the fabric, but instead ripped off both parts of the fabric. And so that's how that happened. And the things I saw kept pointing out, it was like 9/16 of a second mm-hmm. that you could see it. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But people were just up in arms, including Les Moonves, who evidently felt she did not apologize sufficiently.
We are way too obsessed with nipples in this country. That's a whole other topic that I'm not going to go on, but good Lord.
So he had actually, because CBS and MTV and the way companies are all interconnected with each other, I think it was Viacom was the parent company at the time, but they were putting on the Grammys, and he had actually banned both Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake from the 2004 Grammys because of this incident. And then Justin Timberlake gave a very tearful apology about it, and so he was allowed to perform at it, but Moonves evidently felt Janet's apology was not sad enough. Mm-hmm. I don't even quite know that she didn't really
mean
liking. It, evidently, and decided to then make it so, you know, because it's Viacom owns radio stations and MTV and all these things where her music would be played and her music video would be played, was like, okay, we're not going to play her stuff. And so you evidently could not really see or hear her stuff on a number of these stations. And again, I was very young at the time. I was not paying attention, so I don't know how much of this is. But this article spoke to a number of sources who essentially backed this up, but also were kind of terrified to be speaking to this person because Moonves is evidently known for being somewhat vengeful.
Well, apparently.
If you piss him off.
Has way too much power, it sounds like.
Well, yes. And to the point that one of the sources was talking about Janet, a few years ago, I think, got a book deal with a company that was owned by CBS at the time.
Oh,
and
no.
He was just pissed about, like, how did she slip through? And I'm like, because people would buy that book, and isn't that your whole purpose as a business is to sell? No.
Right.
Oh, okay. I don't run businesses, so clearly I don't know.
There aren't other issues in the world to be so upset about. You have to freak out over, what was it, 9/16 of a second?
Well, and also, this doesn't even seem like, yeah, it was 9/16 of a second. They did get a fine from the FCC of a little over $500,000, which I think was later overturned. So it's not even like, you know, people were like, oh, what, the Super Bowl on CBS showed 9/16 of a second of a nipple. I'm not watching them anymore. It's like, I don't know that you really faced any long-term, you know, repercussions from this. That seems a long time to hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Because...
Aren't there Super Bowl commercials that have weirder crap in them than this?
I wouldn't be surprised if there were.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but they're always out to, like, gain your attention.
Well, and so this article went on to say that because of this, because of all the interior backlash, not even the public's upset, just, like, people amongst CBS are upset. This is why, for, like, the rest of the decade, all the Super Bowl performances were, like, older rockers.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't really get a youthful pop performance until, I think, 2011 with the Black Eyed Peas, which would be, like, 7 years later.
Right.
And I'm just like, huh, okay. But, and also why, like, now there's a bit more about, I won't say it's not live, but I think there's a bit of a...
I think there's a delay.
A delay with the Super Bowl, just in case something happens. And there's been a change in the perception of the halftime show from being like a mini concert to being more like a music video, which is why you start seeing it's not just about the music, but now you have to put on this whole show and whatever. Right. And I'm just like, I get it, but also this just seems like ridiculous. And considering the fact that he's also being accused in the Me Too movement, I was like, this is part of the whole problem of like one person in power should not be in power for numerous reasons.
Yeah, can we talk about holy overreaction Batman?
Just because you didn't feel she was sorry enough? Did you tell her that you didn't feel she was sorry enough? Did you like sit down and explain this is a serious situation, blah, 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 blah?
It's not his quote unquote job to determine whose apology is true. She apologized. Move on.
I mean, I get it. I can see if someone, you know, if someone's supposed to be apologizing and they do it in that sort of like sullen teenager way of sorry. Okay, fine. Then obviously you don't just want to let that slide. But I mean, she made a public apology, right? Again, I was very young. I don't quite remember. I think she did make a public apology. So it's not like, you know, she was rude to this guy specifically. She said it to the public.
Right.
But at the same time, also, there might be the whole thing of like, yeah, we're way too concerned about nipples or something. It's like, was this 9/16 of a second really throws me off. I'm just like, really? Really? Especially back in, I think this was 2004, when not everyone had, you know, the ability to pause and rewind on their TVs.
Right.
It's like,
did that just happen?
I think I know of this, but I don't think I watched this show, but I wasn't paying attention enough, so I didn't understand what the hubbub was about, because I don't remember seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't really find a picture of it later.
Right. 2004, I wouldn't have been watching the Super Bowl, because, you know, no hubby at that time.
We don't watch sports unless it's because of hubby.
Pretty much.
That's probably how I'd be, too. It's like, nope, no sports in this, except my whole family likes sports, except for me. But no sports in my house when I get my own place, except for hubby. Then hubby, maybe we'll build you a man cave or something, and sports can be in there, but no sports outside the man cave.
No,
we'll just start having really arbitrary no sports rules all around. And no sports past this line, and no sports that I can hear in the garden.
Wow.
And no sports after 10.
This is a very specific man you're going to marry.
I know. I'm just making up rules now, but I probably would at some point. If he was really obsessive about sports, I might have to do that. Be like, you are not allowed to talk about anything outside of its season. I don't care that we're in preseason. I don't care that the season starts tomorrow. You cannot talk about it until tomorrow. Like, it's serious. It depends on his level of sports love.
Right.
If he's moderate, I'll be moderate. If he's not moderate, we're going to have some problems. But anyway.
Good to know. Maybe I should pre-screen any of your dates. Call me.
Right. Be like, give him a quiz about how much he knows about sports and be like, yeah, no, he scored too high on this for you.
Yeah. Sorry. No date for you.
But yeah, but I do think it was very interesting. A, glad that Janet was trending for a not you've died reason.
Yeah.
But B, how righteously indignant, I will say, people mm-hmm. were on Twitter about this. About like, we've been saying this for years and you didn't believe us. And now we've got proof and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, of course. It's like, but we've been saying this for years. And also beyond, you know, an absolute confession, wouldn't there have been proof in like, you know, number of albums sold and amount of time on like MTV playlists.
Wouldn't there have been like inner office memos saying do not play this woman's music or something? I mean, I don't know. I feel like there'd be a trail of some sort.
But would that trail have come out?
I don't know.
People, again, most of the sources for this article like did not, they only spoke like without
condition
being named.
Of anonymity.
Yeah. It was like, I don't want, and one of them specifically said, I don't want him to know who I am and come after me and ruin me for the rest of my life because he is supposedly that vengeful. And I'm like, problematic if your boss can do that, just saying. But glad to know that, you know, hopefully eventually all things do come out into the air, though hopefully eventually would be like the next day and not, you know, 14, 15 years later.
That is a bit of a time gap.
And of course, now you have to think about if this did affect her career, how much of a, you know, how much of an effect was this?
Right.
Was this like, I mean, it's Janet Jackson and she was huge at the time. So it wasn't like we've completely ruined her career and she can never do anything ever again. But at the same time, this was Janet Jackson and she was completely huge at the time. And it did feel like there was a bit of a slide, although I think some people just associated that with age and changing music tastes, etc. How much of, you know, how big would Janet Jackson still be now? And I'm not saying she's not big. Don't get me wrong. Like, people were still totally loving her last release that she just did. But it's just like, would she be the biggest name in music right now or whatever if this hadn't happened?
Right. How do you even determine something like that?
And again, just my final indignant thing of we totally blamed her for what was a two-part thing.
Yep.
So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
The average sedan is built with a steel frame and equipped with 6 airbags. Remember this the next time you see someone walking. Drivers, be aware. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety. The average SUV has 2 blind spots, weighs between 4 and 6,000 pounds, and takes about 6 seconds to stop. Remember this the next time you're on foot. Pay attention, people. Pedestrians don't have armor. A message from the California Office of Traffic Safety.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. I do find it very interesting, although again, part of this is I don't watch the news, so all of my sense of what's going on is sort of indirect of like I heard it through, I don't want to say I heard it through the grapevine, but like I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend. I'm only generally aware of certain things happening.
Sorry, you just referenced 2 songs from 2 very different decades.
Well, what's the second one?
I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend.
Is that a real song?
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. I can't remember.
I didn't know that. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Indirect, unintentional referencing. But so anyways, big for lately is that Nike has posted an ad with Colin Kaepernick, who has just been in the news for how many years has this been now? This has been a couple, right?
Yeah, it's been going on for a couple of years, I think.
About the kneeling during the national anthem when it's played at football games. And now there are, if not laws, rules amongst, is it the whole NFL or
yes,
certain teams?
No, the NFL made a ruling, although specific teams have put their own spin on that ruling, I believe.
Yeah, so it's like stand, but or you can stay in the locker room mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Nike is celebrating the 30th anniversary of their Just Do It campaign.
Yes.
Which shocks the heck out of me, because again, it's one of those things of I only start getting memories that I remember in like the mid-90s, so things don't exist. I'm like, wait, are you kidding? That wasn't like starting in like 96? What? It's 30? Are you? Wow, I did not know that was the case.
I guess when I think about it, I haven't actually thought about it, but yeah, I guess it would be 30 years. Wow.
Because I think one of my first, and maybe I'm getting this wrong now, one of my first remembered sports anythings was the Mia Hamm and whoever with the Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better song playing.
Okay.
I saw them training. I don't now remember which campaign that was, but that was one of my first remembered sports things.
Wow,
so it's
I
hard
am
for
old.
Me to imagine 30 years of Just Do It. I'm like, really? I just, okay.
It's so ingrained in my head, I just don't even think about the fact that it you know, like, yeah, Just Do It.
Well, and also, I wasn't aware that this was an actual campaign. I thought this was just their slogan.
Oh, funny.
I was like, that's not just like your tagline for the company, because companies often have mottos.
And
that's
also not.
That's like, oh, okay. But so anyways.
Let me jump in here. Take It on the Run, REO Speedwagon. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. There's your trivia for the day.
I didn't know I was doing that.
You're
I'm
hilarious.
Not sorry, but
you inadvertently quote music that you don't even know.
Look at me.
Look at you. Okay, Colin Kaepernick.
Yes. So in honor of this, they have a deal with Colin Kaepernick, and so they put him in an ad. I think they both put up a billboard, and then they also ran a TV ad on the first night of the actual football season,
yes.
Which is the only time hubby's allowed to talk about it. But anyways.
Imaginary hubby.
Yes. People fall very strongly on both sides of this issue.
Yes, they do.
Certain people posted pictures of them like cutting off the Nike stuff from their gear or burning it or planning to boycott it because they feel he's being disrespectful.
Right. But don't burn the stuff you already paid for, people. That doesn't send a message. Nike already has your money.
Right. And also, if you're not going to wear it anymore, couldn't you like give it to a charity or something for the homeless to have, because we are going into winter.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'd love, you know, your thick athletic socks or whatever. But anyways, other people feel just as strongly coming out, especially I saw this posted so many times about how they really dislike the whole, oh, he's disrespecting the military thing because he got the advice to kneel from a military person.
Right.
This was Nate Boyer, who is a former Green Beret and played for the Seattle Seahawks. And Kaepernick had originally sat on the benches, which I think was maybe one of the things that one of the teams suggested was you could, you know, you have to be out there, but you can, I think something, I don't remember, just some of the things the team suggested. I was like, I don't know that that's better than anything. But he had sat for one of the benches and Boyer had said, you know, I feel, find that's really disrespectful. And so he and Kaepernick met and talked about how Kaepernick could do this protest while being respectful. And Boyer suggested kneeling, which, you know, I'm not sure if he said this or someone was just pointing this out, that soldiers kneel when someone's injured or to pray or whatever. And I'm like, yeah. And like, you kneel to be knighted by the queen. You kneel to propose when you're married. I remember when I played soccer as a child, we were taught if someone was injured on the field, you kneel until they're taken off. It's like, this is actually sort of a position of respect if anything else. Saw that so many times. I was just like, yeah, actually, now that you bring it up, I never got the whole furor about it, but you're right. And also he was told it. So it's not like he was like, I want to piss off the military.
Right.
I mean, he probably wasn't like, I want to piss off anybody. He was just using his position to make a statement. But yeah, so the ad, I think in like, depending on how long this goes on with everyone being upset about this, in 10, 15 years, we're just going to look back at this and think, oh, wasn't that a wonderful, inspirational ad? Because it is supposed to be inspirational. It's got Kaepernick doing the voiceover, but it also has Serena Williams, LeBron James, other athletes in it about, you know, chasing your crazy dreams and all of that, including the line Kaepernick has about himself of like, stand for what you believe in, even if it costs you everything or something. I'm like, you know, historians or sociologists or whatever are going to look back at this and be like, oh, that was a wonderful, inspirational thing once we get past the political furor. But I'm just like, is this really that big a, we're going to burn Nike because of this?
Well, now have you seen all the memes that have come out from the stand for what you believe in?
I have not.
So now it's just, I've seen one with Mike Tyson's face. I've seen one with, now I can't even remember all of them. Some of them are funnier than others, but it's like, this is the worst story ever because now I can't remember any of the ones that I've seen. Right. I remember kind of like snickering at some of them and rolling my eyes at others. But yeah, there's just a couple of friends on Facebook kept posting them the other day, like just one after the other after the other. They all blurred together after a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen the ad. I'm like, oh, I get it. And I almost, if it wasn't, you know, for the fact that it was football season right now, I could almost easily see that as like an ad that would air during the Olympics in the same way all the ads that air during the Olympics just feel sort of like inspirational, oh, follow your dreams, push yourself, athletic things.
Right.
This feels like that. And I'm just like, okay, but people are still really upset about this because I don't know. And it's like, even if you are upset, the way some people have taken to handling it, I'm just like, really? Are you, that seems,
I think we live in a time of extremes.
Yes.
People don't seem to be able to react to things in kind of a moderate middle ground way. We have to go to the extremes.
Or we just don't hear about it because the moderate ways are boring.
Right.
And they're not newsworthy. So we only hear about the extremes, even if, you know, it's like, oh, hey, 20 people burn their Nike stuff. It's like, yeah, but 2,000 who also disagree were just like, oh, well, I disagree. And moving on with my life because that's what we as a country were, you know, theoretically founded on or whatever.
Right.
So I was just like, okay, anyways. But moving on, I do like to end on a slightly brighter note.
Oh, good.
Is that two friends put up a fake McDonald's poster in McDonald's and it stayed up for over 50 days.
Okay. What did it say?
Well, it didn't say anything. It was a picture of them holding the McDonald's food and it does actually look like it could easily be a real sort of McDonald's campaign. Because there are these circled dots on it, and the one circled around the fries is in, like, the McDonald's yellow color to, like, bring your eye to it of, ooh, McDonald's fries, I want some McDonald's fries.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently, and this is, again, one of those things of, like, this is, I mean, if you've got the time, I guess, but this is not what I would have immediately thought was super important. They were in the McDonald's, and they noticed that there weren't any pictures of Asians on the wall, but this poster is very large, and they noticed that there was a blank spot where they could put it, and I'm like, more so than it's because there aren't Asians in McDonald's ad campaigns, I would just assume it's because there's only so many pictures on the walls here. Because you clearly found a very wide open space to put your poster, so it's not like this thing is chock full of pictures, and then there's no Asians.
Right.
In the same way, like, I've been to some restaurants where it's like, there's very little open wall space. Everything's covered with photos and posters
memorabilia,
and whatever.
Yeah.
To give you this sort of old school feel to it. If you're in that place and there's pictures of a bunch of different people, but no Asians, okay, fine then. But I was like, did you go to like multiple McDonald's before you determined, you know, that they don't do Asians in their representation? And you're like, you know what, this McDonald's, I'm upset there's no Asians in this McDonald's specifically, so we're going to make a picture.
I want to know how they hung it up without anybody noticing.
Well, and I love the way they did that. The guy, one of the guys, this is Jeff Maravilla and Christian Toledo. One of the guys posted a picture of himself, and he has on black pants and a red McDonald's shirt with a tie, and he says that he posed himself as the regional interior coordinator.
These two just went all out to go to... That's hilarious.
And just nobody even noticed that, hey, it wasn't supposed to be there for like over 50 days. And I'm kind of wondering if anyone would have ever noticed if they themselves hadn't, you know, posted a picture on social media of like, hey, we hung up this fake picture and it's been here over 50 days. It's like, if you had not said anything, how long would that picture have stayed up there?
Right.
Like, I wanted to see before, and it's not clear if it's been brought down.
I was just going to ask, because all you accomplished by saying it's up there is bringing down the Asian people on the wall.
Well, and there was a picture of two people handling it, and it wasn't either of the guys, so I'm not sure if they were putting it up or taking it down, or they had taken it down and then put it back up. A lot of people were calling this a prank, and I think the guys meant it more as a statement, which I agree with, but at the same time, I'm just like, my first thought just would have been, there's only like four pictures in this McDonald's, so
right.
I would have first been like, let me drive around, and this was in Houston. I was like, let me drive around to multiple McDonald's in Houston and see if this is an actual like problem, or if it's just this particular McDonald's, the random four pictures they have just don't have any Asians in it. But either way, I admire the baldiness to be like, oh yes, I'm from McDonald's and I'm up here to place this picture where no one had ever heard of you.
Yeah, I'm also impressed by the lengths they went to. I mean, first they put together this poster with the actual McDonald's logo and the I'm loving it and the, you know, all of the different, all the little elements to make it look like it's not fake.
Yeah.
And then the dressing up and the uniform and pretending you're someone. This was not a slap together plan.
And did you like call ahead and be like, I'm so-and-so from the regional interior coordinator's office and we'll be there on Thursday?
And did they do research? Is there an interior regional coordinator's office?
Right. I'm just like, this always gets me. It's like when you're pretending to be someone you're not to get access to a place you shouldn't be. I know that like a huge portion of that is just act confident and people will believe you're who you're pretending to be.
Right. And then
but
you
how
hope
do you
that...
get to that level of confidence? Because I'd be like, there's so many ways that people could easily find out I'm lying here. I can't.
It would happen to me that I would have this whole plan in place. I'd go in, I'd introduce myself, and the real regional whatever blah 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 right. would be there and be like, hi.
We called the office to reschedule and they said they'd never heard of you or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
It would probably be my luck too. Or like I'd go in and the manager would come talk to me. And then ask me something about like the interior workings of McDonald's that I wouldn't know anything about. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm calling the cops.
Right. Or, like, yeah, did you talk to Joe this morning before you came? Oh, yeah, Joe's great. Yeah, there's no Joe.
Right. Like, I hope you at least did research to determine when like no manager person would really be there or something. Or when like the newest manager would be there, like the person least likely to be able to catch you in your lie.
Seems like they covered their tracks pretty well,
I mean,
in terms of detail.
For 50 something days, at least. I'm just like,
they should have seen how long. I mean, 51 days is impressive, but they should have gone for, you know, some kind of, there's probably no record to break, but they should have gone for some kind of record.
Right. You should have, like, you know, gone into McDonald's and sort of sneakily taken a selfie each day with the picture as long as it was up there to keep track of it until it got brought down and then posted about, like, hey, look at how amazing my prank was. And again, I'm not sure this is a prank. People kept calling it a prank because I guess, you know, tricking people or
right.
whatever. But I'm like, they were making a legitimate social statement, but also, why didn't you just wait? Did you have to boast about it after 50? Was 50 like your, you know, we're going to set ourselves a deadline before we can talk about it sort of thing?
Yeah.
Like, we have a silent 50 days, and then we can boast all we want.
It's the only flaw I found in their plan. They didn't wait long enough.
To do what?
They didn't wait long enough to out themselves. They should have, you know, they should have just seen how long it could go.
Right. You should have been, like, trying to hold the record for longest amount of time of doing something pretty cool without boasting. I would not at all be surprised if there is such a record.
Probably.
Yes. So on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.